All right, welcome back. We're live. Just came back from downtown, the annual fundraising champions luncheon for the Forest Manor Multi-Service Center. We thank the folks, Forest Manor, including us. Soledad O'Brien from CNN was there. But we're back continuing the conversation that we had about gangs with a different perspective of folks who have been working with young people, young adults. I don't want to stereotype the people they've been working with as just gang members, because that's not necessarily correct. But these are folk who've been in the streets, and not in the streets like yesterday, but in the streets for a number of years. Reverend Byron Alston, Brother Reggie Jones, Reverend Horatio Luster. And we got a young man here, the pride of Indianapolis Met High School. Mm-hmm. Amen. He's wearing a Yankees cap, but you know they're 0-3.
Yeah.
They ain't won. But season's still young. Yeah. All right, so I'm not trying to diss him. You're just telling him it's just a work in progress. Young brother by the name of Gabriel Noden. Guys, welcome.
Hey, hello. Thank you.
When you guys heard last week the folks at the prosecutor's office, and really, Byron Alston, for a city our size, for always talking about the different problems, really there has not been a real community discussion about gangs in this town since Steve Goldsmith was mayor. I think Steve Goldsmith was the last mayor, to his credit, that regularly talked about the problems of gangs and what we as a city had to do, and tried to put some resources back in the day, you know, to dealing with not only the prosecutorial part of it, the law enforcement part of it, but the prevention part of it. Is that fair?
I think that's fair, because when we really dealt with the gang issues was when Steve Goldsmith and Jack Cotty, because if you remember, some people went out yonder,
right,
and they sprayed graffiti on the walls out there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we had a gang task force with the sheriff's department, you know, and Steve Goldsmith said, "Now we got to do something about this." Mm-hmm. So we started having that discussion about how do we deal with it effectively.
Why did the conversation stop? To be fair, it stopped during the Peterson administration, and it seems to, you know, have not rekindled under the Ballard administration.
I can't say the conversation stopped, because I remember when Commander Allender was the gang over the gang task force, and me and him and some more officers, we went to the gang school in Chicago, and I got certified as a gang specialist when they got one. Mm-hmm. So the conversation kept going, but the fire wasn't as hot.
Mm-hmm.
As us really dealing with this issue. But now we have more crews, really, than gangs.
Break down for listeners, because, again, I think the community is brainwashed to hear the word gang, and
right.
They don't, so they assume it's like a gang might have been in the 40s or the 50s or the 60s,
right,
or something out of Boys in the Hood or something that Hollywood created,
right,
and not understanding what's it really here.
Well, let me put it like this. I can live on the east side and be a part of a crew.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can move to the west side and I can join another crew because I'm on the west side.
Which is what the prosecutor's office is saying,
which
I think surprised a lot of people, because
right,
the perception is, you know, if you're in gang X, you're always in gang X.
Well, if you're in gang X, like the Black Gangster Disciples or the Vice Lords or the Crips or the Bloods, you in it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no
like a fraternity or sorority.
Right. Okay. Ain't no, I'm going to switch over to this clique now.
Mm-hmm.
Crews, they switch like that here in Indianapolis, because when you talk about gangs, we don't have a serious gang problem yet, but the cake is baking.
And you talk about crew, is that crew with the E on the end of the word, like New Orleans has those groups? They're not gangs, but they're the little groups that do the floats. You mean by that crew, or is it just C-R-E-W?
C-R-E-W, because you have a... You can go on, you got a 30th Street crew, you got a 34th Street crew, you got a 36th, you know, like everybody represents their block. They try to represent their block. Or you got the Post Road crew, you know, or you got this crew. But then I can move over in Hallville and join the Hallville crew.
Are these crews, these collection of young people, are they most of the time law-abiding?
It varies.
Okay.
It varies. And I'm going to be honest with you. It varies on where the crew is,
mm-hmm,
and who's actually leading the crew.
Right.
See,
right.
Some guys don't have leadership ability to say, we're going to do this. When you have a gang, an organized gang, it's rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's things we gonna do and things we ain't gonna do. We ain't gonna disrespect no old people. Mm-hmm. We ain't gonna disrespect no pastor. We ain't gonna shoot no kids that's innocent. You know, that's what gangs actually do if their leader is about what he's supposed to be about. They have laws. They have prayers. They have gang prayers. Crews don't really have that. Just today, we rolling on this. Then tomorrow, we rolling on this. And then next week, I'm gonna mess with his baby's mama because, you know, I like her. In gangs,
so there's no ethics.
There's no ethics.
No loyalty.
There's no loyalty to a crew.
Does that make it more dangerous?
Yes.
I think so.
It's like every man for themselves.
Yeah. Okay.
Every man for themselves.
You know what I mean? Like, it switches up. You know what I'm saying? Like they're saying, it's very possible for you to be a part of more than one crew. It's not gangs yet because it's still like a lot of young kids. You know what I mean? We all coming up still.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I just turned 18. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I've been in school with some of these guys, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So, it's like there is no mastermind to it. You know what I mean? It's like nobody in charge, nobody with power.
So, when people come together to do this, it's no different than if adults come together to cheer on the Yankees or to cheer on IU or to cheer on LeBron or to cheer on the Pacers?
It's different because they're, you know what I mean, they're causing havoc.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They're out here, you know what I mean, downtown. You can't even come down here and walk on the canal without shootings happening on the canal. Like, I was going to school with a girl, the only female that got shot on that canal.
Oh, dear.
I go to school with her.
Oh, dear.
You know, so it's like, you know what I mean, it's no, they don't care about anything. You know what I mean? It's just...
It's the name. I want to get a name.
Yeah, exactly.
I want our crew to have this name. And see, the Star News really didn't help it because what they done is they built up one crew so tough. Now, the other crews, not today or tomorrow, now, but they looking for it. They coming. They going to do something.
Yeah. So it's about one's 15 minutes of, to use the old phrase, the 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And then it's like, you know what I mean, when one gang is on the news the most, it's like, oh, man, this gang's on the news the most, so let's go out here and cause a whole bunch of havoc and mess with some people so we can be on the news now.
So we can get recognized.
So people can be scared of us, you know what I mean? Okay, well, they already got their name, and people know about these guys that's been arrested and locked up.
Has anybody told the media this? Those that listen to the show are getting ready to get an education.
I mean, like, the media is, you know what I mean, they tell you what they want. They don't want it to look too bad. You know what I'm saying? This is they want people to come here. They want you to spend your money here. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. So they're not going to, of course, they're not going to tell you what's going on. And we got this gang or this crew versus this crew or, you know what I mean, group of boys or anything like that. They're not going to let you know that.
When you talk about real gangs, Amos, real live gangs, you go all the way back to the oldest gang in history is the Triads. Mm-hmm. You go all the way back. Real gangs are not about havoc and just killing just to be killing. Real gangs are about organizing, taking care of their own community, taking care of people in their communities, and making money. Mm-hmm. So a gang doesn't want, they don't want the heat from the police, they don't want the heat from the media, because it interferes with making money.
It interferes business. So it's not like the Hollywood Godfather stereotype where, you know, Don Corleone said, it's about business. It ain't personal.
It's all about business.
Because it's about his money.
That's right.
You can care about anything else. It's about the money. Right. But this isn't about so much the money as it is. Is it more power or is it fame?
It's more fame. It has to be more fame. And the reason it's more famous is like a lot of the music that the youth listens to now, you know what I mean, is Gucci Mane and Yo Gotti and Webby. And there's nothing wrong with these artists at all. These are what the youth doesn't understand, or these artists are most likely not even doing those things anymore
that they're rapping about. Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not doing these things. They might have been doing these things to get to where they're at, you know what I mean? But they're not doing it anymore. They have no reason to do it.
Is this an unsolvable problem?
It's not unsolvable. It's just that the media or police or whoever's in charge don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to dab in it, you know what I mean? They don't want to get their hands dirty either. Just like to me with the Trayvon Martin situation. It's like they left it alone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want this side to be mad at me. I don't want this side to be mad at me. So I'm just not going to put my hands in it at all.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons and Amos. We're with Brother Gabriel Noden, Pastor Horatio Luster, Reverend Byron Alston, Brother Reggie Jones. It's another perspective about gangs. You know, how do we deal with this? Are we at a point now when, you know, we need to quit talking about it necessarily, and everybody needs to come step to the table. One of the things, and I'm going to go to the calls in a minute, one of the things that, I kind of raised with the prosecutor's office, and maybe y'all will agree or disagree with me, we don't take truancy seriously in this town. I mean, the police won't deal with it. They say it's not their problem. It's the school police force's problem. The school police force's problem. Say we ain't got enough manpower to deal with it. We got enough trouble just keeping the buildings under control. And we talked to some of the teachers that were here last week. In our hour with some of the teachers, you know, they took them a while before they honestly dealt with discipline problems in the classroom. That was a subject they kind of, you know, Gabriel wanted to dance around instead of dealing with the reality of it. But should all strategies be on the table, whether it's truancy, whether it's, you know, being hard-nosed about discipline in the schools, as well as programming that, you know, could maybe be an alternative to some of this stuff.
Well, Amos, I could say this, and I have to say this. I was at Arlington High School. There was 40 kids in the office getting suspended for being tardy to class. Now, so you took 30 kids. They was cussing in there and everything else. They was giving them their paper, putting them out of school. You put all of them on the street with nothing to do, nowhere to go. So what do that do? The burglaries in the community go up. The thefts of cars go up. The stealing in stores go up.
Wait a minute, for tardy.
For tardy.
Whatever happened to penalty study hall?
They didn't want that. That's what I asked them. I said, why not take these kids, take them all out, and make them paint some fences in the neighborhood? Mm-hmm. Or keep them busy. Don't just let them go home, watch BET, get on the internet.
They watching BET, they're watching Bravo.
And I mean, they were cussing the teachers out and everything, but they were just getting suspended for being tardy to class.
And half the time, the teachers don't realize that some of these kids wake up in the morning, they're not having good days, or things are not going well at home for them, or anything like that. So it's like, you know what I mean, they come into school with this mindset, I don't want to be here, you know what I mean? So I'm going to do what I can to make sure that I get myself kicked out, suspended, and not be in school. And then these administrators are giving the students exactly what they want. They're coming in here cussing the teacher out as soon as they walk in, or coming in pants sagging outside of dress code, doing something they know they have no business.
So they wake up this morning and say, I want to go back home and fall asleep.
Or not wanting to be there anyway because, all my friends are skipping. Everybody that I hang out with is not going to school. Their mom or dad doesn't care if they go to school. You know what I mean? It's making me look uncool. They get money while they not in school. You know what I mean? They coming back to school with the best new shoes out, new clothes and stuff like that. So, that, you know what I mean? They're going to school and it's like, hey, I don't want to be here.
Hey, Miss, could I just throw this in here too about Gabriel? We met Gabriel on a faith walk downtown Friday night.
Friday night.
And we were having a discussion about, you know, we talk about gang activities, we talk about the youth, and we have summits, and we have gang summits and youth summits. But it's interesting to how many people that we invite to all these summits, but you never see
the youth
or the gang members. Mm-hmm. So we sat in there talking, and he was waiting for the bus. Mm-hmm. And I broke out in the conversation with the people I was speaking with, and I asked Kim, because I feel like this. In order for us to know what we need, we need to go to the people that we say need it.
Right.
And who can tell us better than them?
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names. Let me start today with Bobby. Hi there.
Everybody knows who the gangs are here. We know that the blacks have the east side, and M13 has the south side. And the west side is virgin territory, so is the north side. So ask these members, what do they really know about these gangs?
Ask who? Us?
Your panel.
Number one, MS-13 is on the west side, not the south side.
They got the south side. I know that for a fact.
I know that. That's what I'm telling you. We deal with them every day. Me and Pastor Lester, Reggie, every day we're on the street, in the street. When it's a killing, we're there on the scene. We deal with the people on the scene. We deal with their funerals. We go to every violent funeral in the city, everyone. We go to the hospital. We have a program now with the hospital that if we find a young person, white, black, Mexican, that's been in gangs, been a victim of violence, that want to get out, we actually sign them up and get them in a program to kind of help them get their life back on track.
Yeah, but you know, M13 has got the south side.
Right? MS-13.
And they're not going away. They already got the west coast.
Right.
But they're heading this way anyway. So this city is the next target. What are you doing about that?
Well, wait a minute, hold on, Bobby. Let me rephrase it. Instead of you asking what are they that's in the studio doing about it, obviously you have a great knowledge of this. What are you and folk in your area doing about it?
Yeah,
I'm up in the north side. They're not up the north side. They got the south side, which they control. And I know they got the south side because I know the people who are in it.
I talk to them every day.
I know, brother, that you don't really know where the gangs are.
Wait a minute, hold it. Bobby, then what expertise do you have? Because if I'd have known that, I'd have had you down here on the program as well. What expertise do you have that knows where they all are? Can you draw the map and, you know, we can put the map on the website, praiseindy.com, so the whole town knows it?
I can tell you exactly where, like I said. Hold on.
How do we deal with it?
You're the expert.
Yeah. How do we deal with it?
Because, like I said, they have been existing so long. Even when you arrest one M13, brother, they got two of them. Even take that place to one that got arrested.
Bobby,
let me say this,
brother Bobby, about MS-13. MS-13 is over 100,000 members strong. They're in six countries. They're in 30 states in the United States. And at the present moment, they have exactly about 10,000 foot soldiers. Don't tell us that we don't know about what we do, because as Brother Byron Austin said, we deal with it every day.
All right, good point, Bobby. And I'm sure these gentlemen would want to have you there on the firing line.
Ask Bobby to meet us Saturday night.
Saturday night, come out.
Right. At the Urban League.
At the Urban League. Come on down and join them on the Faith Walk. 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoons with Davis. Let me plug Sheriff John Layton in. He's out driving around in the office.
Hey, listening
to the program.
How is everybody today?
Fine, Sheriff. Can you help us with MS-13?
Hey, I'll help you with anything you need. Hey, let me tell you. You know, I was in the undercover vice and narcotics for about 10 years, and then I switched over to undercover gangs, and even Sheriff Jack Cotty put me in charge to build the regional gang and intelligence unit. And now I've been out of that a few years. I won't say how many, but I've been away from that a few years. But there's certain things about gangs that never change. There are things that do turn over. And I like the comment earlier about the crews, because it is going to crews more than the old black gangster disciples and the vice lords that we used to deal with. But these crews are from one county line in Marion County to the other. I'm down in the southern part of the state. I see some of the monikers from Marion County and Greensburg and other places. There is no, in my opinion, there's no geographical area that is void.
Right. Yeah, there's no territory.
There's no territories?
I mean, there is territories coming. Yeah, from like east to west and north to south. But as far as where it's valid for any of these gangs to be at, they can, as long as they're with their or crews, as long as they're with their certain amount of people, they feel like they can go anywhere.
So they're metropolitan.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, there might have been a 2-1 fatal kid passed a 2-1 fatal here, but his mom and dad moved to Greensburg because the Honda plant opened up.
Right.
And, you know, pretty soon, all of a sudden, you see 2-1 fatal graffiti down in Greensburg.
Right.
So he goes down there and he starts a crew. And so it has, over the years, it has exploded. It's expanded throughout. There's not many communities that are void of some type of gang or crew activity going on. And it does fluctuate as to just how tough the different gangs or crews are, and of course the organized crews from back in the 90s, the 80s and 90s, they're still around, and there's a lot of loyalty there, and they are dangerous, but they're organized. The smaller crews, I don't like to say wannabe gang members. I don't believe there's a wannabe. You either are or you aren't. There's not a wannabe Colts fan. You either are or you aren't. But you're predisposed to do some of this stuff if you're in a crew. You know, and that's what the group or the gang wants to do. But let me make one comment, because I was going to ask to come in. Let me make one comment about preventing it in the first place.
Yeah.
I really like the ideas, and it's a cliche, but the parents need to be involved, number one. Right. And the schools can do this, and the cops can do that, and we can lock people up, and we can try to rehabilitate once they – but, you know, I see so many times kids from rich families get involved in gangs. Kids from poor families end up at Harvard, and it's sometimes it's Mm. It's because of the family. You know, make sure they're involved in the sports in their school, and don't just drop them off at practice. Stay there with them. You know, it's those kind of things. Stay involved with your kids. And if they have you to look at for a role model, they won't be looking to one of these gangbangers as a role model.
Sheriff, one of the things the folks in the prosecutor's office told us was that they were surprised that there is no program here like Gangs Anonymous, like Alcoholics Anonymous, or, you know, Narcotics Anonymous. Do we need to do that? Do we really need?
Yes, I believe so. You know, we can't have enough. We cannot have enough programs to take care of our kids and keep them in the right direction. I would champion any program that can rise up out of the ashes that'll keep these kids out of my county jail and your county jail. That's no place for any kid to be. I have 40 of them back here right now, the worst of the worst in Marion County. And Lord knows how many might have been here if they had a positive role model when the timing was right. And we have to have as many of these groups together to help out in that vein as possible. We can't have enough. The amnesty program, I would call it a forgiveness program. I don't know about amnesty is when you have something that you want to give up that is definitely going to put you in jail. Being a gang member, just being hooked up with a crew isn't going to put you in jail. So let's call it forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We'll forgive you for trying that out, but you know, we got to get on this new road to prosperity and education and sports, and let's keep them involved in things. And the parents need to drop them or to be with them at practice and be at their games and act like they care, because I guarantee you, the guy around the corner with the pocket full of rocks, you know, trying to sell them, he's going to act like he cares.
With Sheriff John Layton. Sheriff, while I got you here, your good friend and mine, Russ McQuaid with Fox 59, sent out a tweet about an hour and a half ago saying that perhaps there is some preliminary talk, maybe discussions, that with the public safety funding crisis, is it time to undo the merger of the police and sheriff? Is Russ McQuaid talking out of his hat?
No, I have heard that here and there throughout this crisis that we're going through. I've heard of several different options to possibly change direction, change course. You know, Amos, I'm an old cop, 38 years with this department, and there's one thing I've learned from my experience and great guys like Frank Anderson before me, that you follow the law, and whatever the people of Marion County think is right, you follow that. I'm not going to jump up on a stump and beat my chest and say, John Layton's got to be in charge of everything. Nothing further from the truth. But John Layton will get up on a stump to say the people of Marion County need to be taken care of in an economical fashion, and I think it can be done. So being that our city councilors, they're the voice of the people throughout Marion County, from north, south, east, and west, the city councilors make these kind of decisions. Whatever they pass as law, I will do my utmost best, but I have some meetings set up this week to work with the current administration. So I'm not really going to worry about what's in the future until the people of Marion County tell me that's what they want.
All right, Sheriff John Layton, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310. I'm talking about gangs. Let me go to Pat right quick, then we'll take a break. Hi, Pat.
Hi, you guys. The gangs have got so sophisticated because y'all talking about the kids. But them older kids grew up and they're in the workplace now. They get 7 to 8 people deep to go along with them, and the person they don't like, they'll fight against, they even tell lies against them. I know a girl right now that lost her job because she was against 7 or 8 people on her job. She was a young girl, and people kept bumping into her when she leave at night. They try to, like, they're going to run into her car and stuff. They intimidate her mentally, and I think it done overflowed into the workplace because if we know it or not, because I see it every day. You could complain, but you got 4 or 5 people complaining against you, then to make the one person seem like they crazy. What do you guys think about that?
Wait, you got me a little confused. When you say they're being intimidated, the gang members work on her job, I'm trying to understand how.
Well, yeah, they done got older. Okay, from the last 10 years, these people are grown now.
Okay.
And they got the same mentality they had when they was out there in high school and stuff like that. They'd take and get 10 or 12 people, you know, as a friend group, whatever you may call it, and they go against the one person on the job. So the one person complained, but they got 4 or 5 witnesses with them. So evidently they're going to believe the four or five witnesses against the one person and make you feel like you're crazy or you don't know no better. And all the time they study intimidating you mentally.
All right.
They're not putting their hands on you. But mentally, intimidation is just as bad as somebody hitting you.
It's also against the law. Byron Alston, Reggie Jones, have you heard of those kind of things of intimidation by, you know, say, you know, persons that maybe were in a gang when they're younger and they kind of like got a loose association when they're older?
Well, it still happens if they were in a structured gang. Yes, sometimes it do happen when like 9 or 10 of them work on the same job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a part then where you said it's just mentally is they need to come together and talk to a representative from the union, because I know at one time at a big company here, I ain't gonna name a big company here, a friend of mine said blacks were being intimidated on a certain job. And so he actually hired me to go like I was working there, you know, to see what they do. And they did do it, you see what I'm saying? But they bumped into the wrong person.
But you raise the point. If people are being intimidated like that and it's a major corporation, they've got liability and all kind of things.
Yeah.
And then it's also a—
Get a lawyer.
It's also a crime.
I think so, to get a lawyer.
You know, but good point, my sister. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's names. Gabriel will see in my hands. That's not a gang sign. That's how I tell people. Because I was asking, you know, I used the example, if I went out east to Post Road and was trying to explain to the young people how I do what I do and started moving my hands like this, would I break the law? And the prosecutor said, no, they didn't think so. But, you know, you worry about hands. Anyway, 239-1310, we're talking about gangs, different perspective. Tomorrow, the Capital Improvement Board at this hour is claiming they made money off the Super Bowl. Yeah. We'll talk to somebody to see whether that's true. Also, Senator Richard Lugar is in the fight of his life against some ultra-conservative Republicans. There's a big debate Wednesday night. Tomorrow on the program, live, one of the groups that wants to run Dick Lugar out of Washington— they actually want to come on this show and tell their side of the story. And in the spirit of the light, I'm going to let them. That's these people from Freedom Works, Dick Armey and them. We're going to talk to them. Thursday, City County Council will be here. Friday, we'll be live at the Wayne Township School District out at Ben Davis University High School. This afternoon's with Amos after these. Let me go to Charles right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Charles. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, sure thing. Thanks for taking my call. There's probably one perspective that I don't know if they mentioned it earlier, the city of Indianapolis. Well, let's just say if you're a gang member, they know who you are. Like say for instance, if you were operating under the name of Popeye, and you are involved in the North Side Thumpers, there is an 80% chance that the gang task force knows who you are. They know your first, last name. They know where you live. They know where your baby mama lives. They know what school you go to, what your grade point average is, and all of that. They are gathering this information about all of these kids and all these gangs. They are very reactive, but they're trying to get the city. I noticed after the canal shooting, Schraub came on the air and said, this is a community problem, because as a police force, they had most of all of the information that they needed on the individuals. They know the cars that these guys drive around in. They know the gang signs. They know where they live at, where they hang out at, and they're almost powerless to do anything about it other than trying to round them all up and putting them in jail, which we wouldn't want them to do that. But the thing is, our city's gang task force is crackerjack. They've got all of that information.
Well, I think
it's up to us to follow through with the proactive end of things.
All right, let me let Gabriel respond.
Well, the first thing that I think that's going on and the reason that they're not really acting on what they know right now is because, like I said, a lot of these crews and the upcoming things that are starting and that could possibly be gangs if the police don't get to it right now is because that these are 16, 17-year-old young men who are juvenile. You know, they're juvenile. So it's like if you do lock them up and this is their first offense, how long is that going to keep them in? You know, I mean, they're not going to be in there for it. They don't have really anything against these guys, maybe a few fights or something like that, or these guys being out getting into it with other crews, but they have no real hard evidence that if they did lock them up, it was going to keep them in jail for a legitimate amount of time to make them, first off, not want to come back out and do the same thing. Because it's a lot of, like I said, I'm in school right now. So I go to school with, you know what I mean, people who find themselves affiliated with other people or cliques or crews or whatever you want to call it. And it's like they can't. You know what I mean? They can't do anything. It's like, because if they do something and do get caught for it, they're out a couple months later with the same mind mentality.
But I think Charles raises another issue. If a gang task force is doing their job and they're doing, in Charles's words, a cracker job in terms of gathering the intelligence and trying to get ahead of that, where do they get plugged in into the prevention piece? Where do they get plugged in to, get the school systems, all not just the 11 school systems, mm-hmm. but it's gotten a little bit more complicated now with, 25, 30 charter schools, another 10 going online. Where does everybody get plugged in? I mean, we were talking earlier during the break, the larger responsibility. Parents have to step up. Government has to step up. The foundation sector has to step up. United Way has to step up. The church has to step up. The grassroots organizations have to step up, but also law enforcement. The gang task force, I'm really trying to think in the last 10 years, I don't think they have ever come to this community to break down what it is they do. And that's not to, tell all their secrets. That's not what it's about. But it is about explaining what's going on, Byron. Thank you, Charles. Great, 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 great comments and input as always.
I think two parts on Charles' question. They have done it. They've had gang
seminars,
but the people that need to be at the meeting ain't invited to that meeting.
But here's the other thing: if they go in public to a gang seminar that has 100 people in it, why in the world would not they come to this program and reach 30,000 people?
Right, I agree wholeheartedly. But when he said, "Is it a community problem?" Yes, it's a community problem because that the shooting at the canal, the person they got, someone close to that situation,
right,
went to bat and was hiding the person.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? They didn't want to give him up. They didn't want to say, here he is. Let's get to the bottom of
it. The other thing that spooked me a little bit when the prosecutor people were here, and I realized that they're not the federal government, so they don't have the unlimited pot of money to do witness protection and change your name and move people out to Zionsville somewhere to protect them. But I really was a little leery. It sounded like the whole strategy of the prosecutor's office to protect potential witnesses is to have somebody locked up without bond downtown. That's nice for one, but if the crew is together, having one person there and their friends and their buddies out loose, that's dangerous. And so how do you make it safe for somebody to tell the truth and be willing to go into open court and put their hand on the Bible and testify and put folk away? Pastor Lester?
And Amos, that's a very good issue to look at, because in reality, when you look at the stats or the percentage, you have 85% of our youth, 85, I'm going to say to 90%, they're not interested in games.
Absolutely.
They're not interested in getting in trouble. You do what you do. They like to have a good time, mm-hmm. like to party and do what they do. You have approximately 10 to 15% of knuckleheads mm-hmm. that are out here that makes the situation bad for almost everyone. And you're right. Until we began to start severely dealing with that 15%, the community and people will always look at the 85% and will begin to stereotype the 85% based upon the fact that we're not really dealing with the 15% like we need to.
Right. Let me comment. Jump in here. If we can pull these agencies together, if we can get money to support the programs, to support young men like this, let's talk about Renaissance, stages. If we can work with a Jermaine Ball, a Chris Reeder Jr., Eco, who's doing a tremendous job with young people, but there's no money coming into them. There's no money coming into the community to help do what needs to be done. So our hands is tied. Byron, y'all been out here as long as I've been out here, but y'all been out here as a 10-point coalition. 10-point coalition should have money to do this, as opposed to ceasefire coming in and saying, we're going to pay so much money for y'all to look at a Philadelphia plan. If it's a plan, we can read the plan, Amos. Mm-hmm. We can take the good points from it. Why reinvent the wheel all over again when the wheel is rolling, but it needs support and collaboration of everybody working together?
Exactly.
I heard that the fairgrounds is going to be a holding place for gangs, and that they are getting in, like he said, documenting information on people, and then they're going to swoop on all gangs, and they're going to be a holding place. Remember the people jumping out of the airplanes over in Douglas Park not too long ago. That's
But you have to commit. The people from the prosecutor's office are very, very clear. You have to commit an overt act to be charged under the gang statute. Just being in a gang or a crew is not a crime.
I know a young man right now that we're fighting with, that they said that he was a part of a gang, and he's locked up right now in the juvenile center for 6 months because they said he was a gang member, because they seen him on some pictures with some guys in a little video, and they locked him up.
Well,
was the overt threat?
He was
being affiliated. An old
gang member. Now that goes against what the prosecutor said on the chair you're sitting in.
But is that what they consider part of that RICO law?
Right.
Is that what they consider part of that RICO
law? Not the RICO law that I understand.
Okay.
And somebody needs to call the American, because I asked specifically, what if you go on Facebook or do a video and say, I don't like you, or I don't like John. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, just saying that is not necessary. Now, if you say, I'm going to kill John on the video, that becomes valid. I understand that. I think common sense would understand that. But I think this is where the community discussion comes. You don't, because remember, this is Indiana. Hoosiers get real nervous when they think government's going to act a complete fool, whether you white, black, green, or otherwise, particularly if the law is not applied evenly across the area. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go quickly to Elise. Then we'll, hi, Elise.
Hi.
Elsie, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Elsie.
Hi. I've been waiting for a while. I almost forgot what I was going to ask, but I know of a situation where it's a young boy, and he's in the grade school. He's Hispanic, and his family made him join the gang. He didn't want to, and his brother beat him up. So what do you say about that?
That's against the law.
Well, it's
but you know what? Yeah. They can't do nothing. Of course, the young man is scared to say anything about it because, you know, that's a family thing. Also, I hear y'all talking about these gangs. Well, what make people join gangs?
Great question, Elsie.
Well, ma'am, I want to start by answering your question saying, as him being Hispanic, you know what I mean, and being in a different ethnic group, it's different.
It's in their culture.
It's in their – some people are brought up into that. They have no – they can't help it. Right. You know what I mean? As much, it's whether you do, you know what I mean, you do what your family's known for doing because you have this last name, or your family's going to disown you and you have nothing. And then when your family disowns you, you still, you know what I mean, you got to worry about eating, having clothes on your back, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So then you end up, might have to join a gang regardless.
That's what the Latin Kings does.
I understand that, but what can this little boy do? He don't want to be in the gang.
And this comes back to, the lack of programs.
That's right.
That we have no program that would allow a youngster to be rescued. If that person was in a cult, they could get rescued out of a cult before they could get rescued out of a gang or crew. The other thing is, and I know we don't like the Department of Child Services because they mess up all the time, the child police, but there's nothing to keep that young person from calling CPS, DCS.
But in their culture.
Right. But I know in the culture. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Because when you look at Byron was going to say Latin Kings, MS-13, you have third, fourth generation of gang members. They're born into it. I mean, they live by a strict
law,
code.
And they will kill you before they let you walk away.
Elsie made a good point, but you just mentioned something, because the guy that called before and was talking about MS-13, is that primarily a Hispanic gang?
It is.
Yes.
And he said they were strong. Wait a minute. He said they were strong on the South Side.
Yeah.
And the South Side is not the strongest place. Oh, I wish I'd known that. Then I could have tore him up a little nicer. I could have done a Mike Wallace, may his soul rest in peace. Let me go to what are we going to do now at 239-1310. Hi, what?
Hey, sir. Well, I was just wondering, you know, my thing is if we would do more at home to where if we would have the opportunity to whoop our kids like we used to, you know, they wouldn't be into that. If I see you hanging out on the street with the riffraff, I could call you in and whoop your tail and tell you not to go back out. But nowadays, whooping your kids will get you in jail.
No, I don't think it won't.
It definitely doesn't start with whooping your kids. It starts with you your kid being able to open up to you and let you know about what's going on.
That's all well and fine. Nobody can cut you off. I could let you. You could let me know what's going on, but I'm not going to let you dictate what I'm going to do. You dig? To where if you say, "Well, Dad, there's a problem in my school, and I got to deal with it."
I think you can whoop your kids. You can't beat your kids.
There was not long ago that a lady in Indiana got arrested for whooping her kids for not doing the right thing.
Well, she beat the kid though. Matter of fact, I know the case you're talking about. She not only whooped the kid, she whooped the kid with a extension cord. She left whips all over him. I mean, so that what do we do? Do we let her kill him? Or do we let her whoop him, whoop his butt if he's wrong, but don't beat him?
But Gabriel, I don't think you were saying, you know, adults, parents, grandparents, listen to your child and do everything your child wants to do. I don't think you were saying that, were you?
Nah, what I'm saying is to me how I felt growing up sometimes, you know, I mean, I might think a lot of kids might feel like this, but like growing up, it's like as children, we feel like that we're less than human because when we try to speak to adults, they don't listen. They don't, you know what I mean? Like when we try to let our mother or father or anything like that know how we feel or what we want to do, they don't listen. We're your parent. We know what's best for you. So it's like my mom didn't know that I was interested in music or anything like that till I was 14 years old. You know what I mean? I've been playing sports and everything like that. She thought I was going to dedicate my life to sports and basketball. And then I hit 14 years old and I want to make music now. Mm. You have to know who your child is. You have to grow that connection with your child and know what they like and put that into them. You know what I mean? And give them the opportunity to get to that. Like I said, the men that I'm sitting here with right now, they ask me a question. They ask me, what do I think that the youth needs? Or what, you know what I mean, for us to not be gang related and to stay out of gangs. And I feel like we need opportunity in what we like and what we want to do. And like I said, us being in a recession right now, history repeats itself. We were in the Great Depression before, and the things that got us out of the Great Depression were stuff like the Harlem Renaissance. Harlem Renaissance was us, the jazz era, you know what I mean, poetry, cooking, things like that, things that started within the soul that was inspiration that blacks and other people handmade and formed, and that got us out of, you know what I mean, what we were in. So it's like most of adults or parents don't know what their children really like or are not. Their children are not comfortable enough with their parents to let them know, hey, this is what I want to do or this is what I need, because it's like you have instilled in your child, you're going to go to college and you're going to have a job at this age and stuff like this. It's making them feel like they're forced to live a lifestyle that may not be for them.
From your perspective, thank you, what? Great comments. How should an adult establish limits? Because you're still, you know, until you're 18, you ain't no adult yet. How does that, from your perspective, how do you balance that?
It's like, it's basically like just, you know what I mean, just really taking the time out to know what, you know what I mean, who your child is as an individual and what your child likes and what makes your child happy.
What happens if what the child likes, the parent feels in their spirit, in their heart, that ain't gonna be right for you?
I mean, it's just, it depends on how, you know what I mean, how the parent brings it to them. Mm-hmm. It's a different way of just telling somebody, okay, well, that might not, I don't have a problem with you doing that, but it might not be the best thing for you, or you might not be able to make a good living off of it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But for your child to say it, to tell you they have a dream and you don't like it because it didn't work out for you, or, you know what I mean, or something like that, for you to automatically shoot their dream down and make them feel like, you know what I mean, they can't do what they want to do or be what they want to be, you know what I mean, it hurts them emotionally and mentally. You know what I mean? So then they're not able to come up to you. And when somebody was like, well, yeah, you want to join this gang or be a part of me and this clique or whatever, you know what I mean? Well, it's like my mom doesn't want to let me do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? So I might as well, and them offering you that, and that's showing that they like you, they mm-hmm. want you around. That's what you feel, or at least that's what you think. You know what I mean? You're not really worried about it being a gang. This is a group of guys that like me for some reason and want me
so
to
So if you're
be
not
around,
getting that like or respect at home.
Or even right. love at
home. Love at home, you going to stray.
Yeah. And they always say it's bad when somebody looks for, you know what I mean, love or affection outside of their home. Home is where you're supposed to be able to come to and feel comfortable.
So it's no different than in an adult relationship.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about gangs and joining gangs, now the listeners need to understand and listen to what this young man said, because the answer is within the question in reality. You want to answer to the solution to gangs. This is part of the solution right here. Now, what we would do often, Amos, we would jump over the answer mm-hmm. to look for an answer that makes sense to us,
right. not to them.
And these are the ones that we say that we're going out here and we're trying to keep out of gangs. A lot of people join gangs. I know Byron, I know Reggie, myself. We were all ex-gang members in our days, too. And if you ask me what made me, yeah, you was a gang member, Byron. You was one of the worst. But one of the main things that made me want to join a gang is when my mother and my father separated at 12 years old. And my father was my hero. Well, my mother had to raise 6 other children besides myself. Well, when I didn't feel like I was getting the love from mom that I really wanted, and mom didn't have the time to really listen to what I was going through as a young man because she was too busy trying to work 2 jobs to keep a roof over our head, well, I went to the next family that presented themselves to me, and that was the gang in the community. And that's what a lot of the youth are doing. So this is part of the solution to what we need to do about it.
And if you're talking about 15% of 35,000, 40,000 African American youth, we're talking 5,000 to 6,000 kids. So on that's one right. level, it's a smaller number than the whole, but that's 5,000 to 6,000, that's a goodly number, mm-hmm. right? And spread out over the city. Obviously, this is a conversation we will continue because it's needed. Oh, if y'all listen at the Indianapolis Metropolitan Gang Task Force, you're welcome, because that sounds like a 2-hour show right there. Brother Reggie Jones, Reverend Byron Alston, Horatio Luster. But more importantly, we want to thank Gabriel Noden, the pride of Indianapolis Met High School.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on.
We got to do more of it, because we don't do as much talking to young people, because, A, around this time, they're usually in a class somewhere, even though sometimes this is hotter than a classroom.
His mother, and I want to give her credit, because I called twice to try to get to him, mm-hmm. and the day I had to explain to her why he wanted to be on the Amos Brown show.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, I'll go get him.
Ooh.
And I complimented her.
That's mom.
But she wasn't budging otherwise until I explained her everything. She said, he's not here. And I said, but I'm trying, and I explained
well,
it to
well, thank,
her.
Well, thank mom, too.
Yeah, mom, thanks. I love you, Miss Crystal Staples. You're the best.
Right on.
All right, guys, thanks very, very much.